This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hey, what's up? How are you all doing? This is On the Level with J. Lewis Mills, and you got me, J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week this week. I had a bit of a stressful week this week. I was going to actually come on and, you know, give details of what happened, but because there are other people involved, I think it's just best to say, don't ever take anyone for granted. Don't wait until tomorrow in order to tell someone how you feel about them, because tomorrow is not promised to you. Tomorrow is not promised to me. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. What doesn't kill us definitely makes us stronger. And this is just something to learn from, grow from, and, you know, just move on. So, you know, we all have those weeks. We all have those times where, you know, we feel like it's you know, the burden is a little too much, or the weight of the problem is just too much. You really have to dig deep inside of you to find that level of resolve that you need in order to make it through whatever your situation is. So, just speaking from, you know, recent and current experience, you will be surprised the level of strength that you will find when you dig deep enough into yourself, dig deep enough into your own psyche, into your own, you know, personality. I'm one of those people that has been saying for years, you know, you should know your own worth, know your own worth. You absolutely should do that. And I really think that you should know and understand about yourself where to go within yourself when you need to hit that reserve tank, because, you know, times are just looking pretty bleak for you. You know, there is always an answer within yourself. And I really don't mean that to be, you know, a cryptic message. I mean that sincerely. There is always, you can always find, you know, your answer, or you can always find your resolve within yourself. You just have to believe in yourself. You just have to not believe what other people are saying. Whether they construe or misconstrue you in a wrong way, your real strength is going to come from you. Your real strength is going to come from the level of belief that you do have in you. I've been going through a little bit of something this week, but, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so I'm very, very grateful for that. I do also hope you all had a great Labor Day. I got so wrapped up in my situation. I went somewhere yesterday and it was closed, and I was like, wait a minute, isn't this Monday? And not yesterday, 2 days ago on Monday. And I went somewhere and it was closed. And I mean, I not only had to be reminded that Monday was a holiday, but I had to be reminded exactly what holiday it was. So I hope everyone did have a good, Labor Day weekend, those of you that were able to take the day off, I hope you were able to, you know, relax or spend it with family, friends, barbecuing at the pool, at the beach, or what have you. I will say, you know, I am happy to see the situation down in Houston is no longer anywhere near as bad as it was. It's kind of unfortunate when things happen, you know, and I don't really have a chance to speak on them because they were a few days after my show airs, because I air live Wednesday nights. So I am still praying for those in Texas, and I am also, you know, praying for those in Florida. I'm praying for those in Burbank. I'm praying for those in Montana. You know, we seem to have a pretty interesting situation going on. We've got multiple natural disasters going on, and you know, if you were to speak to the wrong religious person, they would have you believe that this is the end of time. I just find it interesting that all of these problems are happening pretty much at the same time. So if you are somebody in one of the cities that has been affected, or if you're down in Florida and you're in a place where it could be affected, I really, really hope that you can get yourself to safety. I really hope that you and your loved ones can get yourselves to safety. You know, anything, any material objects can be replaced. Houses, cars, clothing, jewelry, all of that can be replaced. Sure, you know, pictures, they really can't be replaced. Old videos of, you know, loved ones that have passed on, you know, those can't be replaced. So I do hope that, you know, everyone that can hear my voice is okay, and I do hope the ones, again, that are down in Florida will take the proper precautions and will come out of this thing as best as they possibly can. So this week, I've been getting, you know, ever since, for those of you that don't know, I did a television show on NBC last season called Heartbeat. And it was a medical drama that was about the real life and achievements of Dr. Catherine Magliotto, who is one of the top thoracic heart surgeons in the world. That was the, you know, that was my first real big job, if you want to say that. So ever since then, you know, I've been getting like emails, or I've been getting questions or comments through several different social media platforms. And let me just stop and say, you know, receiving emails from people asking me questions or telling me that they appreciate my work, you know, I can't tell you how humbling that is, and how grateful that makes me feel. It does not bring any level of conceit with me. It does not bring any level of being cocky with me either. The fact that there are people that are recognizing my work, or that are enjoying, you know, the work I was part of an ensemble to create, you know, that's very humbling and grateful. So whether it's good or bad, and you will hear, well, there's one I can't wait for you to hear, but I picked a few questions and comments that I only picked a couple. I understand that I have the gift of gab, so I pretty much figured I would talk about each one, or, you know, a couple of them have multiple questions in them. So I figured this week I would answer some questions that I've received through different social media sites. And if you are listening now, and if you have any questions or concerns about me, about Heartbeat, about On the Level, about just anything in general, anything you would like to talk to me about, you can always reach out to me at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that is 1-888-429-5471. Let's get into the first question. This one came from Sarah. See, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, if I'm supposed to be the first name, last name, first name, city and state that they're from. So how about I'll just give their first name? This first one is from someone by the name of Sarah. And she asks, Jay Lewis, I have been listening to your show ever since you first started. I enjoy your weekly topics and love how passionate you are every week. Having said that, can I request you do more shows on today's current events? Like, what is your opinion of our president? What do you think of what's happening with our young black men and all these racist white cops? If you can make these and other topics like this your focus, I think you could be a voice a lot of people would listen to. God bless you, sir. You are one talented blessing. Again, this is from Sarah. Well, thank you, Sarah. I greatly appreciate the compliment. I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. I do recognize, you know, I could possibly, you know, talk about more current events or talk about more things that are happening that are relevant now. But see, here's the thing. If one person's talking about it, everybody's talking about it. You know? So as much as I understand your question, you know, I have to say, and then, you know, I also have to, you know, I've got to kind of put in there, you know, I'm still kind of new at this, meaning I'm still early on in my show. You know, there's a whole lot more show to come, and there are a whole lot more cool things I plan on doing, revealing, trying, experimenting with, whatever the case may be. But to answer that, I see your point. Maybe I could a little bit. I might start, you know, having a little segment in the beginning of my show where I do, you know, just talk about current events, and then I will go on to talk to whatever guest I'm going to have that week. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, let's see. What is your opinion of our president? Okay. My opinion of our president is this. Our president is the president of the United States of America. Do I think our president is cut out to be president? No, I do not. Do I think our president should not have run for president? No, I think he should have ran. If he was going to get elected, which he did, I think he should run. See, here's, oh boy. Okay, here's my thing. I 110% understand the negative argument people have with our current sitting president. Excuse me. I absolutely understand it. But at the same time, If this is the President of the United States, he needs to be respected as such. We might not like it. There are some that might not like it. There are some that are pleased as all hell that President Trump is our current sitting president. Why, I don't know, but there are people that might feel that are happy. You know, he's in the presidency. And if you happen to be one of those people and you want to kind of call me and let me know why you're happy we have the president we have, 888-429-5471. I do believe sometimes Donald Trump says things to get a rise out of people because it is so easy nowadays to offend people. There are so many ethics policemen and women and morality policemen and women out there that are basically just, you know, giving full effect, definition, and meaning to the word trolling when it comes to our current president as far as what he says, what he does. Now, if I were in a conversation or a debate with someone, I would bring up specifics of what I was talking about. But I'm not going to shoot my bullets at the gun range. I'm going to wait till I'm in a gunfight. So I'm not going to be specific on how I feel about our current president. But I do believe, you know, he is a person who feels, you know, there are some things he can say. There are some things he can do just to get a rise out. Listen, Donald J. I don't really know what the J stands for, but Donald J. Trump did not ever come from a family of politics. He came from a family of real estate, which he then parlayed into a multimedia success / real estate guy. You know, the last job that Donald Trump had where he was standing in front of cameras was he was a reality TV show host. So, I mean, with the antics, with the way he's acting, with the things he's saying, to think that he would be any different than he is, with all due respect, who's really the fool? To think, okay, well, now he has to get serious because he's in a very high profile position and he's the most powerful man in the Western world. He's the most powerful man in the free world. Of course he's going to get serious. What kind of fool are you? You think somebody like Donald Trump is going to just go straight edge because he's the president? No, sweet baby. He's going to get worse. Stay the same or get worse. Why? Because he was elected. He was elected the most powerful man in the free world. So to think he's not going to be the same Donald Trump that he was before. See, here's the thing. I think the numbers are rolling around. 63 million people voted for him. I believe those 63 million people that voted for Donald Trump, I can't say all 63 million because I actually know some people that voted for Donald Trump, and I consider some people that voted for Donald Trump to be friends. I'm one of those people. I don't have to agree with everything you do and everything you say for me to be your friend. That's not me, you know. But it seems as though a good portion of the 63 million people that voted for Donald Trump voted for Mr. Trump because he is a successful in some people's eyes. Some no. Okay, I get it. But for the most part, he's a successful businessman. I don't care if he has $10 billion. I don't care if he has $8 billion. Nobody can say he doesn't have at least some billion of dollars. Now, whether he got that underhandedly, you know, make whatever side arguments you want. The man was successful at what he did, which was business, which was real estate. Now, here's the difference, in my opinion, with business and politics, business and the White House, or business and the presidency. When you are the CEO of a company, you sit at the head of the table and what you say goes. It's either your way or the highway. Okay, there are 435 members in the House of Representatives. There are 100 senators in the Senate, the U.S. Senate. Okay, Donald Trump ran on a Republican ticket. Not even every representative and senator that is in the Republican Party is in agreement with Donald Trump. So the problem that you have is, if you want to say Donald Trump has 535 employees that have to listen to him being Congress, again, no, sweet baby, that's not true. So if the thought pattern was, let's hire Donald Trump because he's a good businessman and he's going to handle this country, you can't run a country like a business. You can't. Because at the end of the day, the owner of the business has the final say, unless they have investors that they have to speak to. Then, even then, the owner of a company doesn't have the last word, you know. So, having said all of that, what do I think of President Trump? I think he took the best opportunity of an extreme opportunity. It took full advantage of an extreme opportunity, and now others may well suffer for it, you know. And he's the president. He has to be respected as the president. So then I guess to further that, his family would have to be respected as the first family. Now, there's a lot of ways that you can take that. I will respect the Trump family and say that they are the first family. But I will say that Donald Trump and the Trump family was the first family to bring bullshit, chaos, and scandal back to the White House. So I'm still giving the respect of him being the first family. He's just the first. This is just the first family to bring that bullshit back that we didn't deal with for 8 years when the president that was president before our current president was president. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question. To get to the second part of your question, which, you know, I have to be honest with you. What was your name? Sarah? I have to be honest with you, Miss Sarah. The second question you asked me was kind of a bit of a turnoff. And I think I can give this a lot quicker answer. What do you think of what is happening with our young black men and all these racist white cops? You just shut me off right there when you just decided in your mind that every police officer that has an incident is a racist white cop. That's why we cannot have conversations today. That's why people are yelling at each other instead of listening, because you want to use these inflammatory words just to get your level of frustration across when you're supposed to be having a conversation. Now, if you really, Miss Sarah, or anyone else, if you really want to have a 110% truthful conversation about inner city relations with the look, if you want to have a conversation about ethnic relations, damn just black people, if you want to have a real conversation about the relationship between people of ethnicity in the United States of America and law enforcement, we can have that conversation, but you best believe, understand, you need to go ahead and fess up to some things that people from my side of the fence seem not to want to admit. So, if this is going to be a conversation that is had, number one, you have to take that language out of there, all these racist white cops. Because you have already shut yourself off to me and a whole lot of people that are wanting to have an intelligent conversation about this. But yet it seems that because it's a person of color that's the victim, and because it's a person of, I'm not even going to say that because it's going to sound funny. I don't care if it's a victim or if it's a suspect. If you are going to want to have a conversation, then the conversation needs to be real. You can't have a conversation pointing fingers just at one side saying it's you. You can't do that. You just can't. And again, that's part of our problem. We don't want to be accountable for. We would rather just stand up and agree with. If we know that everybody around us is in agreement with the craziness that we have to speak, we will go ahead and say it just because we know we have people around us that have our back. I've never been one of those people that need a bunch of supporters for my thought patterns or for my opinion. I try to look at both sides of the fence, and I try to come up with the most common sense, level-headed frame of mind that I can. That's what I do. So I would not mind, Miss Sarah, having this conversation. I absolutely wouldn't mind having the conversation about race relations here in the United States of America. But just because I'm a black man with a radio show, don't think that anybody's going to come on to my radio show and say down with whitey, because that's not, no, sorry. That's really not the problem. That's really not the problem. So I hope in some way that answers your question. I will further ask your question. I will further answer your question by simply saying, both sides of the fence need to be held accountable. Both sides of the fence need to be held accountable. Once we're ready to do that, we can go ahead and have that conversation. And again, thank you, Miss Sarah, for your compliment. I appreciate you thinking that I would be a voice that people would want to listen to. I absolutely appreciate that. Okay, my next one is coming from Tomas, and this one is from Chile. Okay, see, first of all, let me tell y'all this. I got a message from somebody on, and okay, if you're saying this is revealing my ignorance, look, my confidence is to the point, I'm good, but I got a message from somebody from a place called the Isle of Man. Never even heard of the Isle of Man. Didn't even know there was a place called the Isle of Man that had watched Heartbeat and was telling me that they enjoyed the show. I say that to say, you know, I've gotten messages from people all around the world, and I'm telling you, it's an absolute blessing to know that people know your name in places where you've never even been. You know, that's just validation as an actor, as a performer. You know, as someone that wants, you know, to get themselves out there in that way. So this is from Tomas in Chile. It's kind of funny. I got this a while ago, so just realize that as well. Your show just started playing now, and you are my favorite character. The way you look at people is so funny. Are you really mad at them? Okay, first of all, I appreciate people that say, you know, Forrester was their favorite character. I do. I legitimately do. It's a bit hard to believe. I'll be honest. It's a bit hard to believe. But at the same time, I do still appreciate the gesture of people saying that. Was I mad at them? No. No. There was never a time I ever worked on Heartbeat. I'm not going to say there's never been a time I haven't been in a scene, which we'll just go ahead and leave that alone. There's never been a time that I shot anything for Heartbeat, that I was mad at anyone. You know, the way I approached Heartbeat and the way I approached Forrester, I was pretty blessed because I shouldn't say just me. Myself and my castmates were blessed because we were able to assist with our own story, with our character's backstory. We were not given full rein and said, here, you write it. But at the same time, we were not given a character saying, okay, this is it, that's all. No, we were blessed enough to have some type of input. So with the backstory that we came up with on Forrester, it just plays a lot better, you know, for me to, how can I explain it? Forrester was somebody that was seen, but he wasn't heard. But you did not have to hear him to understand what he was thinking or what he was saying. Forrester was very demonstrative with his looks and his body language. I can even say there were a couple of times where Forrester had some Forrester was given dialogue, and I was like, hey, yeah, I don't I don't know if Forrester would really say all of this. I remember telling an actor friend of mine this. Are you fucking crazy? I mean, well, you know, we were telling a story. So if I felt like, you know, if I felt it would be a lot more powerful for Forrester to either bump into somebody, nudge somebody, look at somebody, or, you know, something else versus say something, I mean, I was all for it. I've been told that I'm a team player to a fault, because if it's good for the team, but it's not good for Jay Lewis, look, it's good for the team. And I had a very good team of people to work with. I had a very good team of people to work with. So to answer your question, Tomas, no. I was never mad at anybody. Although I was not mad at anyone. This next one, let me see. Okay, yeah. So this next one that I'm getting ready to read, this came from someone that was, I guess they were on Facebook. They sent this to my fan page for Facebook, and this was sent to me. Oh, wow. This was sent to me 6 weeks ago. But when I went back and was going to go in and I was going, you know, I was looking for all of these, this person has since left Facebook. So now the message is still there, but it's just under Facebook user. And when I first read it, it was so comical to me. And I'm going to break it down and help you understand why I think it's such a funny message. But when this was sent to me, I didn't pay attention to the name. And now it's in my Facebook, just under Facebook user. But I want you to really listen to what this message says, and maybe you can understand why I think it's really funny and why I did not take offense to this at all. This is what it says. Okay. Jay Lewis, I watched every episode of that show you did, and I listened to every one of your so-called talk shows. I don't think that you're a good actor, and you sound like a creepy guy with issues on that crap show you have. Why don't you do us all a favor and go be homeless again? And again, I'm going to say Facebook user. I do seriously find this funny. And I'm pretty sure you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How could you find that funny? Okay. Let me break this down for you the way I read it. I watched every episode of that show you did. Now, for Heartbeat, I was in 8 out of 10 episodes. By the admission in this message, I watched every episode of that show you did. So it took you watching 10 episodes of a show to come to the realization in your mind that I wasn't a good actor. When most people, if they feel somebody's not a good actor, they can just go ahead and see that from the door. They don't have to watch all 8 episodes that a person is in to come to the conclusion that they're not a good actor. I have listened to every one of your so-called talk shows. I have listened to every one of your so-called talk shows. You couldn't just listen to one, I get it. You couldn't just listen to one and say, yeah, this guy isn't a good actor and he doesn't do a good show. You had to listen to every show. So, I don't know who this is, unfortunately. Even if I did, I don't think I would give them their 15 minutes of fame and say their name, their full name at least. I would give their first name. But let me, if this person is listening to my show now, let me help you out and give you a lesson in shit talking 101. When you want to talk shit to someone, you don't necessarily want to give them a compliment, because that just reveals your own level of ignorance. So in the future, if there's someone else that you happen to see on a television show and they also have a radio show, probably not a good idea to let that person know you sat and watched every show. It's as well probably not such a good idea to let said person know you have listened to every one of their so-called shows. I don't think you are a good actor, and you sound like a creepy guy. Okay, damn the actor thing. You can have your own opinion on that. But as far as sounding like a creepy guy, yeah. Maybe you should read some of the other emails that I get of people telling me how my voice does sound. Creepy is not their mindset. Absolutely not saying that in a braggadocious type way. Number one. Number two, being is how I don't know you, so I don't remember, again, I don't remember who left this, so I don't remember if it was a dude or a chick. If it was a dude, help me to understand why I'm caring what you think what my voice sounds like. And if it was a chick, I don't know, turn your radio up. I don't know what to tell you. And then they close it. Do us all a favor. Go be homeless again. Don't necessarily understand how that would be doing anyone at any time in life a favor. I don't understand that. As well, I don't remember each and every word that I said during each and every show. So I don't remember if I ever made reference to being homeless while talking on the level. I don't remember if I did, but if I didn't, then all that goes to show is someone that thinks I'm not a good actor and somebody that thinks I don't have a good talk show is looking me up on Google. For what? I'm not a good actor, right? My talk show isn't good. So, unless I said something and you were paying attention to one of those crappy talk shows, I don't know how you would know that. Unless I know you personally, but if I would have known you personally, I would remember your name. Unless you are a cowardly type person and I do know you personally, and you just put that post up under a different fake profile. There's so many variables. But at the end of the day, thank you. It's a compliment. You watched every one of my shows, Facebook user. You listened to every one of my talk shows. And you most likely Googled me. Thank you. I take this as the same type of compliment as I take. It was very soon after I had announced on Facebook that I had got the part. No, it was actually when I was in Vancouver. It was one of my first few days in Vancouver. I was mentioning something about Heartbeat or that I was there doing Heartbeat. I used to go to what used to be an acting studio in West Hollywood, but that is just turned into, for a lack of a better contextual visual, it's just basically turned into a money-making puppy mill, so to speak. But I went to this studio back before Heartbeat, and I thought I befriended people there, and there was one person in particular I thought was a real friend. Well, when I was posting about Heartbeat, which I think at the time was called Heart Matters, one of my friends from this acting studio in West Hollywood sent me a message. And you know how if you're on Facebook Messenger, you can see if somebody has seen your message because their picture of their profile will go down to your message? Okay, so this person tells me, but I think back then it was just a check mark. But this person in the Facebook Messenger message that this particular person sent to me, they said, "I'm going to wait until I see that you have read this message, and then I am going to unfriend you." I have been trying to work in this business for over a decade now. You have been in this business for less than 2 years, and you already have a series regular role on a major network. As much as I would like to be happy for you, because as much as I have sacrificed, it's hard for me to watch your success when I feel like I should have had success so long ago. I'm telling you, I memorized what this person said to me. And, I told a few other people about it, and I let a couple of people read it, and, they seemed like they were upset. And I'm like, you got to be joking me. That's got to be one of the best compliments I've ever received. My success is so powerful that it is affecting somebody to the point that they can't even be my friend. How validating is that? I mean, just really stop and think about that. How validating is it that someone that has been doing this, I mean, now, listen, just because you live in a city for a said amount of years, just because you go and spend your money at an acting studio for a said amount of years, and just because you physically show up to an audition for a said amount years. Number one, that doesn't mean you've really been working. That just means you've just been physically showing up places. So if you are a person that has such low self-esteem, if you are a person that can't see another person's sacrifices and use that as inspiration to build yourself up to say, if Jay Lewis could do it, I absolutely could. Now, that might even sound a little disrespectful, but I don't care. The fact that me taking full advantage over an opportunity, because in the grand scheme of things, what does that tell me to this person? That tells me this person just didn't. Well, I mean, it's obvious. This person just didn't want to see that success because they thought it was supposed to be theirs. I have never in life, and I never will in life, even if I go for an audition that somebody else goes for and they get it, there will never in life be a time where I am jealous of someone else's success because someone else's success is someone else's success. That's not my success. Just because somebody stepped into something and was successful at it does not mean, because I can see how easy they make it look, oh, well, I can do that too. No, it's not what I'm saying. But if you have the same drive, if you have the same wherewithal, if you have the same, I'm going to use each and every person that told me I could not do this as motivation. If you have that killer instinct in you, in my opinion, that's what the it factor is. So, I don't think you are a good actor. And you sound like a creepy guy with issues on that crap show you have. Thank you. I appreciate it. Here's the next one. A little lighter. Jay Lewis, I just binged your TV show, even though we didn't see Forrester much. Was there a reason he wasn't in the finale? I got that one from Miss Tanisha. So, Forrester wasn't in the finale because it was an oversight, and I will leave that there. The next one. Hi, Jay Lewis. I listen to your show, not live, but I listen each week, and several shows ago, you had a preacher on that was talking shit about the gay community. Not really, but okay. It seemed as though you agreed with him. Do you have a problem with the gay community? And if so, what exactly is it? I am not gay. I am not gay, but just asking. Have a good day, Mr. Mills. And this is from Brian. Okay, let's work backwards up. You felt, Brian, it was necessary to tell me you weren't gay. Why? Why was that a necessary thing for you to put in this message? I'm not gay, but, you know, I'm just asking. Why does it matter if you're gay or not? So, I don't know. Could be wrong. Just another big picture type situation. Who really has a problem with homosexuality? You or me? Because I'm not the one that sent somebody a message that had to make sure I let them know, well, you know, I'm not gay. So, you know, just like a few questions ago when I said somebody turned me off with the words racist white cops. Okay, this kind of changes, for me at least, this kind of changes the whole message within this message. I'm not gay, just asking. So let me go ahead and clear this up. For those of you that don't know what show Brian is talking about, I did a show with a preacher. I don't know, it was maybe my third or fourth show. I did a show with a former preacher, Reverend Dr. Reverend Earl Carter. That was basically excommunicated from from the Church of God in Christ, because he preached a sermon where some of the things that he was saying about the homosexual community were rather inflammatory. I mean, I can even admit that. So I had him on the show to give his side of what happened. I reached out to the Church of God in Christ, and I did not hear anything from the. I called the headquarters, and then I called the church of the presiding bishop, and I wasn't able to get anyone that wanted to discuss this on my show, on the level. So what happened was, the church denomination, the Church of God in Christ, they had been preaching against homosexuality ever since its inception. As most things, you know, the rules and the doctrines of the Church of God in Christ kind of got a little softer towards certain other issues, not just homosexuality in the church. And the participation of members that were homosexual in the Church of God in Christ. And it wasn't really even my argument, but my reason for having Elder Carter on the show was because all he was doing was teaching what he was taught to teach. And when he was first approached about it, he asked if the presiding bishop wanted him to submit a formal apology, and he said no, he did not. He would call him back. And instead of calling him back, they just went ahead and excommunicated him from the church. So do I understand your point of saying he had a problem with homosexuality? I guess if you weren't listening to what he was saying, I could see that. But I remember asking him point blank, "Do you have a problem with the homosexual community?" And he said, "No, I do not. I have a problem with me being told or taught that this is what we cannot do, and now all of a sudden, this is what we are allowing to happen." Was he right? Was he wrong? Who's to say? So, and to even go a little further, Brian, it seems as though that is one show you must not have listened to the whole show. Because I remember saying more than once, some of my absolute closest friends are members of the homosexual community. Some of the best performers that I know are a part of the homosexual community. And a few of the best people that I know are a part of the homosexual community. So I never now, nor never, I know that I said that wrong, but I'm trying to make a point, have had a problem with anyone at any time, in any way, in the homosexual community. I'm also one of those people that feels like if I have a problem with someone having a problem with me simply because of the color of my skin, how could I even possibly think of being a common sense, educated human being having a problem with somebody because of their sexual preference? It doesn't have anything to do with me. So why should it affect me to the point that I have a problem with it? Why should anyone's sexuality affect anybody to where anyone doesn't have has a problem with it? I did not too long ago. I saw two men holding hands walking down the street, and somebody, oh man, don't nobody want to see that shit. Well, then look the other fucking way, Bo. Look the other way. So, barking up the absolute wrong tree, asking me if I have a problem with homosexuals, with someone in the homosexual community, because I've already said more than once how much I don't. And if you did listen to the shows, I don't know, kind of think you would know that. I have a couple of more questions, and I already know we're over time, but it's all good. Let's keep going. Hi, Jay Lewis. I am a talk radio junkie. I listen to more radio than I watch television. I liked all of your shows so far, but the one you did on sex trafficking really touched me. I have a cousin that was a victim of this, and 6 years later, she still has nightmares. Thank you and your guests for helping bring awareness to a very real problem. And this was sent to me from Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. I don't know if you're listening to my show now. I don't know if you'll listen to it later. But I want to say I could just imagine what your cousin is going through, but I can't imagine what your cousin is going through. But I can absolutely understand if your cousin went through such a horrific experience like this 6 years later. I can understand. I would understand if she was still having nightmares 16 years later. I cannot, again, imagine what it's like to go through a sex trafficking situation. But what I can say is I can open my mind up to the point of understanding just how completely horrific it will be. It would be. So, I decided to read this one just because this one hits close to home for a couple of reasons. Number one, this show was one of the most important shows that I felt like I did, and this show was done. My guest was a very important person in my life. So just the fact that her work is being recognized, you know, it definitely does me good. Okay, here's the last one. Jay Lewis, I love Heartbeat. I am rewatching it on Amazon Prime right now. Good on you. You are all great actors. Do you get nervous when you have to shoot scenes with actors more known than you are? This one is from Miss Tina. That's a pretty good question, actually. Do I get nervous when I have to shoot with actors more known than me? Let me get this clear. I think for the next year or so, I'm going to continue shooting with actors that are more known than me. Does it make me nervous? I know I'm going to get some flack for saying this, but I stopped being nervous. I stopped being nervous when I started being hungry. That's what I did. I stopped being nervous when I started getting hungry. There were a time I can remember back to going to the New York Film Academy or the LA Film Academy, or this community college, or UCSB Northridge, or whatever that college is called, for auditions for very, very low budget things. And I was like a ball of nerves. But then one day I was on my way to an audition and I seriously pissed myself off. I was so nervous. And I said to myself, look, these people sitting on the other side of that table, they haven't made it just like you haven't made it. Why are you so fucking nervous? Stop it. Cut it out. You're really pissing me off. I'm not crazy, but this is what I said. But from that, I got, you know what? Yeah. These people are still building their careers the same way I am. These people are still walking up the mountain the same way I am. But then once it got to me auditioning for things like Heartbeat or auditioning for other things I've done with more high-profile people in it, my thought pattern as far as that's concerned is they chose you for a reason. Don't make them regret wasting your spot. They could have given your spot in the audition to someone else. Don't make people regret asking you, inviting you to an audition. Because I don't give a damn what anybody says. It's a compliment to be asked to an audition. There's something that people see that, you know what, let's see what this person has. There's something here, either their body of work or their look. There's something here that we want to tap into. So it's your job as an actor to go into an audition, in my opinion. It's your job as an actor to go into an audition and help them understand why you are right for this part. Not why you're better than anybody else, because damn it, I'm not better than anybody else. I can just do Forrester better than anybody else. But that doesn't make me better than anybody else. That just means Forrester was basically written for J. Lewis Mills. And there's some of those roles that are out there like that. And there are some people that are in title roles that even if they go and work in something else, you're always just going to see whatever it was that they hit out the park. So now that I am blessed to be at the level to where I'm auditioning for bigger stuff, I still don't get nervous. Because if I get nervous, they're not going to see the best version of me that I want them to see. They're going to see the same nervous person that they've continued seeing walk in here all day long. I don't know who the country chick is that has the song, Let's Give Them Something to Talk About, but that's how I approach every audition. And I did a good job not cussing too much, so I think I can cuss once just to get my point across. Before I walk into every audition, I say, let's go get these motherfuckers something to talk about. Let's go give these motherfuckers something to talk about. That's how I approach it. And because I approach it that way, I'm excited. Because I know what I'm getting ready to do. I'm excited because I want you to see what I'm getting ready to do. So to answer that question, no, I am not nervous. Well, wow. This time goes by a little faster. We might have to renegotiate for some more time. But I do thank you all for joining me. Yeah, I was My energy level is a little low this week. I understand. I am sorry. And again, I'm not trying to be evasive. I'm not trying to be elusive. But I was devastated pretty much this week. But as they say, the show must go on. And I absolutely not. I absolutely regret not being in a proper frame of mind to join you last week, but it was great to be here with you this week. I hope you all have a blessed week. If you missed any of the shows, you can go to the archive and listen to them. They're all there. If you have any questions or concerns for me, comments, anything you want me to specifically talk about, you can send me an email to jlewis.mills@outlook.com. It's all lowercase, JLOUIS.MILLS@outlook.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Snapchat, LinkedIn, Twitter. That's enough. Yeah, I think that's it, but yeah. All right, people. Thank you very kindly. I look forward to talking with you again next week. Be blessed. Stay safe. Look out for each other. This is J. Lewis Mills. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.